You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. Today I've got Chaley Ridge with Ridge Lending Group. How you doing, Chaley?
Hey, Ken. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Chaley has been our preferred loan officer, mortgage originator, whatever you want to call her, for the last, two, 3 years probably?
I think three, yeah.
3 years. I bet you've probably done upwards of 100 loans for us over the years.
I think that's probably about right.
In my opinion, Chaley is the go-to mortgage originator for real estate investors. She works with folks all over the country, does a ton of business, and completely understands how to get real estate investors approved and get their deals done. Chaley, maybe jump into a little bit. Just tell us about your business and sort of your walk through real estate investing over the years.
You got it. So quick 30,000 foot view. Ridge Lending is a second generation company. My father founded it back in late 1990s. I jumped in a few years after that, and we focused much of our attention on the non-owner occupied side of financing, our specialty. So I would consider us more of a boutique type lender. We are nationwide. And I think a few things that set us apart that make us unique are the top two, the focus we put on education for our investors as it relates to the financing piece. We really like to pay a close attention to that. It's the one piece in this big real estate investing orchestra I feel like often gets put aside or missed. And it's such an important component that understanding at least some high-level stuff, the how behind the why, I think is very beneficial to the investors, especially the newer investors. The other thing to mention that I think is unique about us is that I'm an investor myself. At the height of the last real estate cycle, I had 42 properties. So I come with an interesting perspective in all of this and being able to not only share some of my experiences, good and bad, mistakes learned, but the financing piece too and the education that we built over 16 years, myself personally, and understanding how to maneuver that battleship in a creek.
So let's talk a little bit about your experience as an investor, and then maybe at the end we'll talk a little bit more about what you do now with Ridge Lending Group. So when did you initially get started investing in real estate?
So I think that we started purchasing our first few in early 2000. I'd say it was 2002, 2003. By 2008, we had the 42 properties. I think the interesting thing to mention about this is that when we were actively investing, it was a very different cycle. Most of us who have been around a while know that real estate is a cyclical type investment. And that particular cycle was exclusively, at least from my perspective, 100% appreciation. There was very little, if any, cash flow to be found versus now it's the top one of people's requirements for investing in real estate is the cash flow, at least the residential stuff that we're mostly focusing on. Appreciation was, of the 42 properties that I mentioned, not one of those properties cash flowed. The appreciation was insane to the point that we were looking at 70, 80, 90% annual appreciation in some markets, which was fantastic. We were looking at adjustable rate mortgages, leveraging back equity, borrowed funds are non-taxable, as most people know, and taking those funds and propelling into additional purchase transactions, additional properties, acquiring more. So it was a unique time like this one, but one that came with some learning, very valuable learning lessons.
I can imagine. Well, back then, I mean, I remember the mid-2000s. It was the Wild West there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Availability of credit and certain markets just appreciating like crazy. So what markets were you in that had that type of appreciation?
Well, we really focused much of it on the Sun Belt states. So, retiree type states, the Floridas, North and South Carolina, Texas, Arizona, even Oregon coast. We had it pretty spread out. There were some landlocked states in there too, but I would say for the most part, we were mostly focusing our attention on the states in which had the coastlines.
And so just to clarify, you're located in Oregon, and you were investing out of state. Now, did you have brokers that you were working with, or where were you finding these properties?
So because we were the preferred lenders for a lot of the bigger national investment groups, and I had kind of an interesting perspective in getting to see the appraisals and how the properties were penciling, I could go to the individual groups and get, you know, whatever properties. I mean, I had a nice pick of the litter type stuff. As they came across my desk, I could luckily pick up the phone and say, hey, what about this one, or what about that, or sign me up for this one. And I would say that of those 42, I probably visited, actually saw with my own eyes, less than 5% of them. It was all sight unseen.
Yeah, I gotcha. And yeah. Most of those new construction or a little bit of everything?
At the time, I would say 80% was new construction, maybe more.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, so that's a good segue into, let's talk about your best deal ever. So out of those 42 properties, I'm sure you had some winners and probably got caught with some losers too when things, you know, quickly changed in 2007, 2008. But let's talk about some of the winners. I mean, obviously, this is high speculation. You're buying with the anticipation of just drastic price appreciation. So what were some of the, what was maybe the one that stands out as the big one, the best deal ever for you?
I would say that the biggest, quickest profitable rental properties. I'm gonna say Florida was the market. Appreciation there was unsustainable, as we all can look back and remember. It was Panhandle, Santa Rosa Beach area. I think within a 6-month window, construction was complete. And back then, we were able to do something called a double escrow, where we would close and have the buyer in place at the same time. I think we cleared, after commissions and everything, about $110,000 in 6 months' time.
So that's a property that you put under contract to build and then sold it the second the thing was finished being constructed?
Yep.
And probably sold it to another investor, probably not even an owner-occupant, right?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, and they probably turned around and put it on the market for another $50,000.
They probably held it for 12 months and did the same exact thing. Now, in that same vein, it's probably important to mention that, you know, we'd actually done that a couple of times. The 110 pop was probably the largest margin of profit, and we took that and did the 1031 exchanges, et cetera, et cetera. But we did it a few times, and after probably the fourth or fifth, this is getting to be around construction start times were, I don't know, mid-2007. Mm-hmm. Things, you know, we saw some writing on the wall, but we weren't as concerned with the financing piece as maybe the real estate market part. The fact that both of those sort of imploded at the same time is really how we got left holding the bag. But to conversely, we were stuck with a few of those high-end properties and not able to sell, in which they were on six-month adjustable rate mortgages. And so it went really, really good. Some greed probably took hold, and it went from unbelievable to, oh my goodness, what am I going to take away and learn from this?
Yeah. And when a lot of people, especially me being in Atlanta, I remember those days, and there was a lot of folks buying in the condo conversions in Florida and doing the same thing, doing the build outs and then immediately selling. And there was quite the run up to the crash. And then us doing, we vacation in the Panhandle a lot ourselves. And I remember 2008, all of a sudden it was just a ghost town. I mean, it was, people had lost so much money. The banks had taken such a beating that, you know, I guess what I want to take from this is not necessarily advocating, you know, that type of activity. But at the same time, you know, there is a certain amount of speculation in real estate investing where you study the market, you understand the dynamics, and it does make sense to buy with the intention of selling for appreciation. Now, these days, it seems like there's the opportunity to get cash flow and appreciation. I think back then it was purely speculative appreciation, and that's why so many folks got burned.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, and I'm probably not articulating this properly, but I think that those experiences and what the last cycle for me was like does not detract from the power of what real estate is. We're looking at a current market environment that's a complete 180 in most cases from what that was, 100% appreciation and turning the equity into more purchases where and it was intended to be a longer term buy and hold as well back then, except that the lack of cash flow and the ease and availability of financing. I mean, you could fog a mirror and get a loan back then, and now it feels like we're providing, you know, DNA samples. So my point is that I don't think it detracted me in any way, shape, or form in understanding that real estate as a vehicle is a very powerful investment opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And so these days, here we are, 2015, it seems like, you know, the credit markets maybe are just now starting to loosen up. You know, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been really, really much more difficult. You have to be a super qualified buyer to get the financing. What are you seeing now in terms of the types of financing that's becoming available?
It seems to be, or you know, at least for the last couple of years, it's still a few steps forward and then 3 or 4 steps back. But yeah, we're noticing that they are easing up. They're loosening the purse strings. Fannie and Freddie they've kind of given us some additional flexibilities in some of the non-owner-occupied type products. But I think even more than that, and hopefully they'll continue to do so, but we're starting to see the suits in the woodwork come out a little bit. And we're having opportunities for portfolio-type products that are far and away better than what they were a year, 2, 3 years ago. You can leverage 75% on portfolio products. And these are, let me just clarify, when I say portfolio products, our strong advocacy is to leverage and exhaust those 10 conventional golden tickets, as we call them, per qualified individuals. And once you've exceeded or you've met that expectation, move into the portfolio type stuff that allows you to go past the 10 conventional. Leverage is, like I said, up to 75%. There's even stated income products for the self-employed. The rates are very good, still cash flowing properties very nicely. I would say that the one thing that we are very anxious to see is some hopefulness in the terms of the portfolio stuff. Right now, you're probably only going to find adjustable rate mortgages, and more often than not, it'll be a 5-year. So we're hopeful that maybe at some point, 2015, we might see some 30-year fixed portfolio money out there. The rates are going to be higher than conventional, but I think that would suit people just fine. The 5-year seems to be the one element that, you know, scares people the most, I would say.
So just to repeat that, you're saying now they actually do have some stated income loans. So that's very new within the last couple months, I'd imagine.
I'd say it's probably been out there for the last 10 months, but maybe just the last 3 months where it's, you know, financing is funny. They release these products as sort of this beta test just to see what comes out. They may not even have, you know, all of the criteria for resale and underwriting totally dialed out. So when they roll it out, it's sort of like a train wreck until it's got a few months of proof in the pudding, I guess, kind of thing. So the last couple months, it has been doing very well, performing very well. But yeah, stated income, past 10 financed, up to 20, and then there's even products that go unlimited. Foreign national is another big one that we now have that's very feasible. There's some good things coming, I think.
Wow. All of that is extremely powerful for the real estate investor, especially the investor that wants more than 10, or the investor that's self-employed, or like us, that potentially selling to folks that are out of the country that are looking for financing. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of change in the last really 12 months, it seems like.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. There seems to be some talks too where Fannie might be loosening the 10 number to, you know, slightly higher, 12, maybe even 15. But that's been sort of the rumor for some time now. We'll see what happens.
Interesting. And then, again, not to get too off topic, just to jump back into the portfolio product. What are just to give us our audience an idea, what are the minimums? You know, how many houses could they do? What's the minimum loan amount? What are the LTVs, that sort of thing, on the portfolio product?
So there's several of them, actually. I'll try and summarize just some of the basics. The 75% LTV seems to be pretty accessible in each of the different products. You should figure that the minimum loan sizes are going to be roughly $75,000. I think that there's some that go lower than that, but the pricing gets a little bit crazy, lower than the $75,000 minimum. Credit scores, you should expect 700 as a minimum. Like I said, the adjustable rate mortgage is probably what you can expect there, a five-year ARM, maybe a seven-year ARM, and interest rates in a range based on a variety of criteria, high fives to mid sixes. So if you gauge 5.75 to 6.5, that's probably a realistic expectation of where you'd fall.
Interesting. That is incredibly powerful. So I guess my next question is, can you do these portfolio loans in an LLC and then
Yes.
you can do like a personal guarantee? So these don't necessarily even go in your credit report.
They won't go in the credit report, but they will be counted in that. Let's say someone decided to do this in lieu of, or they needed a stated income to start with, and it's going to be as one of the 10 finance if that hadn't already been exhausted, because it'll show up on the Schedule E. It won't be on the credit report, no, but it will show up on the Schedule E, so it would count in that case if that was where you were going.
I got you. So ideally, you want to get your 10 Fannie deals first.
Yes.
And then look at your portfolio product. And you can do up to how many? How, I mean, is it unlimited, really, based on what?
Yeah, there are products that are unlimited. There's another one that's going to be a little bit more aggressive in the pricing, the interest rate, that will do 10. And it doesn't matter how many you have, but we'll do, I'm sorry, did I say 10? We'll do 8 of those past 10. And let's say someone had 20 finance properties, we would do another 8, or 30 finance properties, we would do another 8. But then there's products past that where, you know, there is no limit. The terms are going to change slightly, but the most aggressive, I think, is that we would do 8 past the 10 at the 75 leverage, lower interest rate range, five-year adjustable rate mortgage.
Now, is it possible to do non-recourse on any of these portfolio products?
I have a non-recourse option. It's not the one that I mentioned. It's a cross-collateralization commercial type product, and you're looking at a swap rate. It's a balloon, which, you know, it might serve its purpose, but I would stick with an adjustable before I would go to a balloon if I could. But it's available. Non-recourse is available. I would say for those, call me and we'll go over the specifics.
Okay. Wow. This is big news, I think, for investors, the fact that these types of products are out there. Just to wrap things up, so Chaley, you've got a really good perspective on real estate, especially the most recent cycle that you've been through. I mean, the run-up in the 2000s and then sort of where we are today. You know, just in your perspective, what do you think the opportunity is for investors? Obviously, there's not the 70% appreciation that you saw in the mid-2000s where you could turn 100 grand in 6 months. But you work with so many investors. Where do you see the opportunity right now?
I would say that the pulse that I'm getting from my day-to-day conversations is most people are interested in the passive income of real estate, where they're looking at the long-term gain, the markets that are producing the best ROI in cash flow. Georgia is at the very top of that list. I'm sure that you were aware of that, Ken, just to give you a little plug.
I'm extremely aware of that. I actually saw the report came out this week, and I think I emailed it to everybody in my office and said, send this to everybody you know.
You're at the top of a very short list, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that I'm specifically answering the question, but I would say that for this cycle, the 30-year fixed mortgages and those conventional loan spots is definitely where you want to start. If you're a clean slate, all the better. Get those under your belt. We have options now to move past that and expand the wealth through real estate, which is very exciting. We've been waiting for a long time for those opportunities. They're finally here. But the cash flow, I think, in this real estate market is where most people's heads are. The fact that we're starting to see the appreciation come back in some of those markets, again, Georgia being one of them, I think for most people is icing on the cake. I find that a lot of times people have short memories, except for when there was so much pain involved. So the appreciation play, I think, still is secondary to most people. And like I said, just the silver lining that makes real estate all that much more attractive than, you know, their retirements and their, you know, stock options and the NYSE.
Sure, sure. Chaley, we appreciate you sharing. I'm actually glad we kind of went in that direction, that we could jump into a little bit more detail with the types of products that are out there. How can folks find you if they're interested in getting a loan, if they're looking at a non-owner occupied property and loan that they're looking to get? How would they contact you? Where could they find you?
Very easily. Toll free, 855-747-4343. That's 855-74-RIDGE as an easy way to remember. Or our website is a great resource, www.ridgelendinggroup.com.
Folks, Chaley is a tremendous resource. If you have an opportunity, if you're looking for a loan, don't hesitate to reach out to her. I'll make sure that her information is on our website as well. Chaley, thanks so much for being with us.
It was my pleasure, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm Podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.